I'm here as pastor. I've done this for a number of years. It's been, I don't know if I'd call it a custom, but or a tradition, but just I like to do this on Easter. So turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is probably the greatest chapter, the greatest passage on the resurrection. Explaining it and putting it into perspective. And let me remind you this morning that Christians, followers of Christ, are the only group of people that have this hope. You can go to a lot of graves of religious gurus and founders of organizations. Many of them with a positive message. They speak of doing good. They speak of having hope. They speak of working for a cause. They speak of being religious. But as I said when I made my prayer a moment ago, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. And what we're fixing to read here is what sets us apart from religious people. I talk to people all the time, even church people. People who attend a church or are part of a church. And they say, well, you know, I'm religious. I'm a religious person. I think I'm doing okay. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. And all those things are fine. In fact, they're all good. I pay my tithe. I'm a good provider. I do my best with the relationships I have. I try to be someone that is approachable. People can talk to me and feel comfortable with me. And all of those things, they're all wonderful. But outside of Jesus Christ, they have no merit. And what sets us apart is not that Christ lived. Not that he was a good preacher or a phenomenal teacher. Most religions can point to somebody and say that about them. What sets us apart is not even that he had a following, that he was charismatic and dynamic. Most religions can point to somebody and say that about them. What sets us apart is not even that Jesus died. Most religions can point to somebody and say that about them. In fact, if you go to their grave, to their burial place, you'll find that there are remnants of them there. A tooth. A lock of hair, a piece of clothing, something as a memorial. What sets us apart is what we're reading here in 1 Corinthians 15. So let's read this together. And then we're going to take some time to worship, just some time with the Lord and thank Him for these things. And I'm going to try to do this without commentary. Just like I try every year to do it without commentary. I don't know how successful I'll be. But let's read this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And here I go. I can't not say a word about that. Paul said, this is the gospel. And he's fixing to tell us what the gospel is. But he said, I've spent time with you. I've written to you. I've written of the gospel. I've spoken of the gospel. You know what the gospel is. This is the only gospel that will save you. In another place, Paul said, if I preach any other gospel unto you, let me be accursed. If I or anyone preaches another gospel than the one that I've been preaching, let him be cursed. And here's the gospel, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. But that's not what makes him special. Not that he died. And that he was buried. Also not unique. Here it is. That he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Not according to my words. Not according to secular history. Not according to tradition. According to the Scriptures. That's the basis for what we believe and teach and preach and practice. The Scriptures. So Paul said, all of this that we're talking about is based on thus saith the Lord. So that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Plus nothing, minus nothing. You say, I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know what to tell them. Read to them 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. That's the gospel. That's all they need to know. But then, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. But then, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. See, the guards came up with a scheme where they say, no, his body was stolen away. He didn't rise like he said. They stole his body and they hid it somewhere. But no, Paul said, verse 5, that he was seen. He was seen in his resurrected body. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. So it wasn't just his disciples saying that they saw him. It wasn't just a handful of people saying, oh yes, we saw We saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. No, he was seen of them, but also he was seen of above or more than 500 brethren at once, all of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Most of the people that saw him are still, they can give testimony today. He said, but some of them are falling asleep. Some are with the Lord now. Some have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So when we talked about the gift of apostleship, we said that an apostle needed to be someone who personally saw the resurrected Christ. They personally saw him in his resurrected body. Here's where Paul said, that happened to me. I did that. So I am qualified to be an apostle. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. In another place, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. I am the least worthy of salvation. And if God can save me, he can save anyone. And I give that testimony today. If God can save me, he can save anyone. But he said in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Whatever I am, it's by his grace. So he was saying a couple things there. By the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, God don't make no junk. God made me what I am today. Whatever I am, it's by his grace. But he's also saying, there's a lot I could boast about and brag about. He lists his credentials in other places. And if anybody could boast, it was Paul. But he said, I'm nothing except by the grace of God. If it weren't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be worthy to write these words to you. And we can all say amen to that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, Christ has done so much for me, I can't help but live for him. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now he's getting into the point of the chapter here. Although there were no chapters and verses, but he's getting to the point of this part of the letter. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no resurrection of the dead? He's talking about the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. So if Christ didn't raise from the dead, what are we doing? All we have is religion. Understand that there had been people that had come before who had claimed to have the truth. They claimed to know the way to heaven. Most of the time it was by doing. 600 and some commandments that they needed to follow. They can even keep the Ten Commandments, let alone the other 600 some odd commandments that they made for themselves. So they're trying to do that. Their faith is vain because they're not preaching a risen Christ. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. He said, that's what we preach hinges on, the resurrection of Christ, that he raised from the dead. And if that didn't happen, we might as well go do something easy like brain surgery. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's it. There's no hope. They're done. Stick a fork in them. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What does the world say? Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. I saw an advertisement the other day promoting a company, an investment company. And they said, when you invest in our stock, you're actually investing in over 300 different companies. You've got a little sliver of Microsoft and Apple and several other companies. They said, if you invest everything you have in Microsoft and it fails, then you've lost everything. But if you invest in our company and Microsoft fails, that's just, you still got 300 other companies that'll make you money. That's what the world says. Diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't hitch your wagon to only one star. And what we're doing is the complete converse of that. We're putting all of our hopes in the risen Christ. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. That's it. Paul said, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we're pretty much like everyone else that says they have the truth and really doesn't. That's it. That's it for us. But, I love that word but, in this verse anyway, usually when you say but, it means forget everything I just said because I'm fixing to contradict myself. But I like this, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, Adam, he'll say that later, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's it. Because of Adam, we're all born with a sin nature. Even Joyce Meyer, who I saw this week, I didn't know this about her, said she doesn't sin anymore. She stopped sinning. Good to know. She just broke her record because she lied. Amen. She already blew it, because ain't no such thing as women preachers. Well, women, the kind of ministry she has. I believe women can preach. My wife can preach. My daughter-in-law can preach. They preach to me all the time. And rightfully so. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's, at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And I like this, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be defeated is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Now he's getting into some of the tenets of these false religions. He's saying, you say that Christ didn't raise from the dead, then why are you getting baptized for the dead? If the death is the end, what hope is there for them if there is no resurrection? Verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. He's talking about dying to self, dying to his flesh. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what avengeth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It's the end. There's no more. There's no life after death. There's no judgment. Take it all in. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. For not preaching the gospel. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That word quickened means made alive. Plant the seed in the ground, it has to die before it's made alive. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. You don't plant a full stalk of wheat or grain. You plant a little seed, which grows and becomes whatever it is. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. He's using illustration here to make a point. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. We die on this earth, a sinful, fleshly, wicked carcass. We're raised to a glorified body. Just like that little mustard seed is buried. It grows up into a wonderful, useful, beneficial plant. Little caterpillar wraps a cocoon around itself, comes out a beautiful butterfly. And so it is written, verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And the verse that is the theme of the nursery worker. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. Paul believed that he was going to be alive when the Lord came back. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Because in order to go to heaven and spend eternity with God, this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's religion. But these last two verses are my life verses. But thanks be to God, and only Him that giveth us the victory through, not our works, not our religion, not our church attendance, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's why we do what we do. That's why we gather on Sunday, the first day of the week. That's why we give our lives to Him for His service. Because Christ isn't a religious leader. He's not just some guru. Not just someone who was endowed with magical powers. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's our risen Savior. That's why we're here today. That's why we're not a part of one of the other churches in Council Grove. And there are some other churches in Council Grove that are preaching the same gospel today. Not all of them are, but some of them are. And we're thankful for that. We serve a risen Savior. We'll sing about that in just a little while. We've already sung about it. Christ the Lord is risen today. We know not March the 31st. We know that's not the day we're talking about. We're talking about the day of His resurrection, which for the believer, we celebrate every Sunday. Every day we ought to celebrate. May God help us. Well, hope that's encouraging to you. Hope that's a reminder to you of why we're here. So let's take just a moment. Our time is drawing short, but let's take just a moment to pause and thank the Lord for His resurrection. Thank the Lord that we serve a risen Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank You today that we're here to worship and to praise and to adore not a dead religious leader, not a man who there was a conspiracy to try to hide him away and make it appear that he had risen. But a Savior who rose, was seen, ascended back to heaven, and is alive today at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Thank You. I pray, God, as we go into the next service, that You would speak to our hearts once again, that You would encourage us with the hope of Your resurrection. Thank you for these that are here, and I pray a special blessing on them. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.